jungle, dear jungle, gonna chant a bowl, hey, go down in ya, ya maya, isa chira go.
Rama Rama
Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Unibo, 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 Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parvati, Charya Kosi, Tera, Sadashi, Shiva. His divine grace, Avaya Chalanada, Bhaktivedanta, Goswami, Srila Prabhupad, Ki Jai, Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupad, Ki Jai, Anantakoti, Vaishnava, Vrenda, Ki Jai, Namacharya, Shinohidas, Thakur, Ki Jai, Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindikajai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopikapatnath Sai Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrinda Padam Kijai Maturanam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Dalasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Pakta Vrindi Gijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory Guru and Gaurangananda Hari Hari Bol. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Buddhale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarni. So, Omagana Timidanda Shah Gananjala Shilakaya Chakshuram Niditam Yena Tasmai Shigavena Maha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual masters, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. The darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada, save me. It's like that story. I guess I should tell that story again, since some of you haven't heard the story. Once upon a time in Paris, there were devotees going on a morning walk. And when they would go on a morning walk, they would see this person in who they considered to be a bum. And anyway, so they would see him out there. And then one day Prabhupada came. And this devotee who appeared to, this person who appeared to be like a bum, he sort of like wanted to go up and touch Prabhupada's lotus feet, and they sort of stopped him, but he made his way back in the temple, and they found him in the temple, and they called him Pigpen because he was actually quite dirty, and they engaged him in various activities. I'm just telling the story very, very quickly. Especially cleaning in the temple. One day, this devotee, Pigpen, he always kept chanting, Prabhupada save me, Prabhupada save me, Prabhupada save me. So one day, this devotee, Pigpen, jumped into the Sankirtan van to go out and Sankirtan the devotees, and the devotee said, no, 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 Pigpen, you better just stay back in the temple. That was his name, Pigpen, because he was so dirty. And so he insisted, they took him out in Sankirtan, and while everyone was eating prasadam early in the morning, guess what? Pigpen grabbed a load of books and distributed all his books while everyone was still talking and eating prasadam. And he became a great book distributor. And they asked Pigpen, what did you tell people on Sankirtan to get them to take a book? And Pigpen simply told people what? Prabhupada save me, Prabhupada save me, Prabhupada save me. And he became one of the best book distributors. And recently, in the last 2 or 3 years, he passed away, went back to home, back to Godhead. So the point, and he was giving Bhagavatam class, and he was a great Vaishnava. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, a dog can swim an ocean, a blind man can see. So anyway, we should get Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And to get Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we should serve Srila Prabhupada's society. So today, for example, I was talking to one of my godbrothers who was consoling me. Not consoling me, because I wasn't unhappy. He was saying, how do you deal with all these different issues? I mean, today we had some really interesting issues to deal with. And it was so intense today. It was like a Bollywood movie with some devotees, or a marriage ceremony. Anyway, I don't want to tell you about it, but anyway, it was, you know, it was like, anyway, I won't tell you what it was like with the marriage ceremony, the impending marriage ceremony. So anyway, don't worry, it's not mine, it's someone else's. It was like a Bollywood movie. But anyway, so then we were dealing with so many things on the GBC. And the devotee said, what do you think about it, having to deal with all these things? And I said, I am so grateful that I'm allowed to be engaged in Prabhupada's service. I am so grateful that even though we have all these challenges, interesting experiences, crazy, you know, all sorts of things going on. And I cannot mention all the things going on, then we are so grateful to Srila Prabhupada. Even though we may be like the spider, and other devotees may be like Hanuman. You know that story from the Ramayana. We are so, so, so grateful that Prabhupada has allowed us to serve his movement. That is, I mean, I cannot express how grateful I am. So we should feel like that. That we are extremamente grateful. That's the highest perfection. And if I could serve Prabhupada's society eternamente, that's eternally, for those of you who don't know Spanish, then I will be very, very happy. It's not simply that Prabhupada gave me something, the greatest thing, and I have a debt. It's just that I love Prabhupada. I just want to serve him. It's like Ananta Shesh wants to serve Lord Vishnu. Or Lakshman wants to serve Ram. Of course, Lakshman had some problems in his service. But anyway, that's another issue. So this is how we should feel in regard to Prabhupada. Okay, so Prabhupada saved us. Prabhupada saved us. Prabhupada saved us. We should always chant this mantra. Prabhupada saved us. Okay, let's continue. So, Om Ganat Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu and Meditam Yenin Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, then we'll go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are in the beginning of the fifth chapter of the Majalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, I think I'll get everything set here. Good. Alrighty, let's go. Text 24. So let me reiterate what's happened so far in this chapter. There's two Brahmins, a younger Brahmin and an older Brahmin. And the younger Brahmin is a very poor Brahmin. That means not so much money. The older Brahmin is from a very rich Brahmin family. And the younger Brahmin has been serving the older Brahmin as they've gone through all these different pilgrimage places, especially in Vrindavan and Mathura. Okay. And the older Brahmin, he's so pleased with the younger Brahmin. He says, look, you've been serving me like this. And the younger Brahmin says, I don't want anything for my service. I just want to serve. Pure devotee right there. Because he just wants to serve the other devotees. That's a real devotee. Okay, got it. So, and the older Brahmin says, no, I will give you something. I have a beautiful daughter, Brahminical daughter, Brahmani. And you can marry her. And the younger Brahmin says, not a good idea, Prabhu. Because you're from a very wealthy Brahmin family, and wealthy Brahmin family daughters don't marry someone from a poor Brahmin family, because we are very caste conscious, and your family will never allow it. Whew. So this is where we are at right now. So the older Brahmin is insistent, and we'll hear what happens as a result of the older Brahmin's insistence and promise to the younger Brahmin. Brahmana sevaya krishnera prithivara hai ha tanhara santoshe bhakti sampad badaya. Lord Krishna is very much pleased by service rendered to Brahmanas, and when the Lord is pleased, the opulence of one's devotional service increases. In this regard, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that the younger Brahmana rendered service to the older one with the purpose of pleasing Krishna was not a matter of ordinary worldly dealings. Krishna is pleased when a Vaishnava is rendered service. Because the younger Brahmanas serve the older one, Lord Gopal agreed to become a witness of the marriage negotiation in order to maintain the prestige of both devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would certainly not have liked to hear about marital dealings unless such dealings were exchanged between two Vaishnavas. Marriage arrangements and ceremonies, this is funny, this is what I'm dealing with today, belong to ordinary material karmakanda section of the scriptures. The Vaishnavas, however, are not interested in any kind of karmakanda dealings. Srila Narottamadas Thakur says, karmakanda jnanakanda kevala vishera bandha. For a Vaishnava, the karmakanda and jnanakanda sections of the Vedas are unnecessary. Indeed, a real Vaishnava takes these sections as a poisoned pot. Vishera bandha. Sometimes we take part in a marriage ceremony for our disciples, but this does not mean that we are interested in karma kanda activities. Sometimes, not knowing the Vaishnava philosophy, an outsider criticizes such activity, maintaining that a sannyasi should not take part in a marriage ceremony between a young boy and a young girl. However, this is not karma kanda activity, because our purpose is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. We are given all facility to the general populace to take to Krishna consciousness, and in order to fix the devotees in concentration on the service of the Lord, marriage is sometimes allowed. We have experienced that such married couples actually render very important service to the mission. Therefore, one should not misunderstand when a sannyasi takes part in a marriage ceremony. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu took great pleasure in hearing about the marriage ceremony between the young Brahmana and the daughter of the elderly Brahmana. In fact, when Prabhupada got his disciples married, one of the first things they did after being married is they went to London and started the Krishna Consciousness Movement as three couples. Amazing. Something that sannyasis could not do, these three couples, married couples, did. Pretty cool. So therefore, when you're talking about Vaishnavas getting married and Vaishnavis getting married, that a sannyasi can have something to do with. Ordinarily, the injunction is if you see a sannyasi on your marriage day, not so auspicious. But for a Vaishnava sannyasi to be seen on the marriage day means the marriage will be auspicious if the couple sticks to it. It's an if. Now, you may get a blessing, but you got to stick to the blessing. What is the blessing? Vacha vegam, manasak prota vegam, jiva vegam, udarapashta vegam. You want to be a good couple? You have to tolerate. You have to learn, give, and take, not just take. Okay. I'm not going to give a marriage course right now. So, bada viprakahe tumi nakaran sangshaya tamaki kanya dibahani ami karila nishchaya. The older Brahmana replied, "My dear boy, do not doubt me. I will give you my daughter in charity. I've already decided this." Chota vipra bale, that means a little. Chota means little or younger. Brahmana said, "Tamara stri putra saba bahu yati gusti tamara bahutata bandava." The young Brahmana said, "You have a wife and sons, and you have a large circle of relatives and friends." Tasavara samati vina nahi kanya dana. It's funny because this is what we're dealing with today, a kanya dana. Anyway, rukmid nira pitabishbaka dahate pramana. Without the consent of all your friends and relatives, it is not possible to give your daughter in charity. Just consider the story of Queen Rukmini and her father Bhishmaka. Now, you have to understand the social scene in India at that particular time. People lived in like a village environment, and in that village environment, there were cousins, second cousins, third cousins, brothers, village brothers, village sisters, you know, big family, and a lot of social pressure, and a lot of stress on reputation, keeping up with the Joneses. Sorry about that. Keeping up with the, let me get a, think of a good name in India. Oh, keeping up with the Patels, or figure out another name. Keeping up with the Trivedis, or the Chaturvedis, or the Dwivedis. Anyway, so it's like that. It's really like that. People are very much into prestige. And reputation is so important. People would rather die than lose their reputation. Even in my own family, it was like that. I was brought up in a nice Hindu family. And guess what? I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement. And my mother, she would not tell any of her friends I joined the movement. She made up some story I'd gone somewhere on pilgrimage. So I came home and the people asked, the neighbors asked, friends asked, "Where did you go on pilgrimage?" Or they mentioned a specific place. And I said, "Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Very nice. Very, very, very nice." And so in this way, my mother's reputation was protected. Finally, they discovered I had joined the Hare Krishna movement. But by that time, I was a sannyasi. So then my mother could use my position to brag, and it increased her prestige. My son, the sannyasi. So if I was just a brahmachari, you know, how could she brag about that? So it's easy to brag. My son, the sannyasi, you about my son? He's one of the big characters there. And then my son, the guru. So then my mother became very proud of me being a devotee, as long as I was a prominent devotee. If I was just a regular, run-of-the-mill devotee, she wouldn't have been too happy. So anyway, true story, not a lie. Bhishma kera icha Krishna kanya samarpite putrera virode kanya narila arpite. King Bhishmaka wanted to give his daughter Rukmini in charity to Krishna, but Rukmi, his eldest son, objected. Therefore, he could not carry out his decision. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 52nd chapter, Text 25. Bandhunam Michatam Datum Krishnaya Vaginim Ripa Tato Nirvarya Krishna Dved Rukmi Chaidyam Amanyata. King Bhishmaka Vidarbha wanted to offer Krishna his daughter Rukmini, but Rukmini, the eldest of his five sons, objected. Therefore, Bhishmaka withdrew his decision, decided to offer Rukmini to the king of Chedi, Shishupala, who is the cousin of Krishna's. What an insult. However, Rukmini conceived of a trick. She sent a letter to Krishna asking him to kidnap her. In order to please Rukmini, who was his great devotee, Krishna kidnapped her. There ensued a great fight between Krishna and the opposing party, headed by Rukmini's brother Rukmi. Rukmi was defeated, and because of his harsh words against Krishna, was about to be killed, but he was saved at and shaved also at the request of Rukmini. However, Krishna shaved off all of Rukmi's hair with his sword. Sri Balaram did not like this, and so, to please Rukmini, Balaram rebuked Krishna. And later on, Balaram killed Rukmi when there was a gambling match between them. But that's a different story. So that's a specific type of marriage called a Rakshasa marriage. It doesn't mean that one's a Rakshasa. It just means you kidnap the girl, the girl likes it. It's not an involuntary thing. The girl, it is so romantic to be kidnapped by some guy who you really like, not by some Rakshasa. So that's called a Rakshasa marriage, bona fide. In America, it's called eloping. I'm laughing because we're having to deal with a similar situation here in North Carolina. I mean, this way, it's just like, it's a perfect section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita for me to be reading tonight. Vada viprakahi kanyamora nijadana nijadana dite nishet hibe kona Konjana. The elderly Brahmana said, my daughter is my own property. If I choose to give my property to someone, who has the power to stop me? Actually, no one is anyone else's property except Krishna's property. Tamaki kanya diva savaki kare tiraskara samshya nakara tumi karaha shvikara. My dear boy, I will give my daughter to you in charity, and I will neglect the position of all others. Don't doubt me in this regard. Just accept my proposal. Chota vipra kahe, means the little Brahmin said. Yadi, or younger. Yadi kanya dite mana gopalera hage kaha e sacha vachana. The younger Brahmin replied, if you have decided to give your young daughter to me, then say so before the Gopala deity. Gopalera ge vipra kahite la gila tumi jana nijakanya ihare amidila. Coming before Gopala, the elderly Brahmin said, my dear lord, please witness that I have given my daughter to this boy. In India, it is still the custom for a daughter to be offered to someone simply by word. This is called Vag Data. Vag means the words. This means that the father, brother, or guardian of a girl has given his word that she will be married to a certain man. Of course, she can refuse, like Rukmini refused and got kidnapped, like Subhadra refused and she got kidnapped, or she did kidnap Arjuna. Consequently, that daughter cannot be married to anyone else. She's reserved by virtue of the honest words of the father or guardian. There are many instances in which the parents of a female child have given somewhat verbal promise that the daughter will be married to a son. Both parties agree to wait until the boy and girl are grown up, and then the marriage takes place. Following this custom, which is very old in India, the elderly Brahmana promised to give his daughter to the younger Brahmana in charity, and he promised this before the Gopala deity. In India, the custom is to honor any promise made before the deity. Such a promise cannot be canceled. That's why you have marriages in front of the deities. In Indian villages, whenever there is a quarrel between two parties, they go to a temple to settle the quarrel. Whatever is spoken in front of the deity is taken to be true, for no one would dare lie before the deity. The same principle was followed in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Therefore, in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, Bhagavad Gita 1:1. By not becoming God-conscious, human society is deteriorating to the lowest standard of animal life. This Krishna consciousness movement is very essential in reviving God-consciousness among the general populace. If people actually become God-conscious, all quarrels can be settled outside of court, as happened in the case of the two brahmanas, whose disagreement was settled by the witness Gopal. Chota vipra bale thakura tumi mora sakshi toma sakshi bulaimu yari anyata de ki. Then the younger brahmana addressed the deity, saying, My dear lord, you are my witness. I shall call for you to testify if it is necessary later on. Eta Bali Dwijane. I mean, they had this loving relationship with the deity. They could talk to the deity, chastise the deity, and even win an argument with the deity. Eta Bali Dwijane Chalila Deshere Guru Budye Chota Vipra Pahuseva Kare. After these talks, the two brahmanas started for home. As usual, the young brahman accompanied the elderly brahman as if the older brahmana were a guru, spiritual master, and rendered him service in various ways. Deshe asi dvijane gela nija kore katadine bada vipra chindita hantare. After returning to Vijayanagara, each brahmana went to his respective home. After some time, the elderly Brahmin became very anxious. Oh my God, what did I promise? And my naggy wife is there. And my son, oh my God, they will make my life miserable. It's like that. When you're surrounded by other people, your family members, they can really make your life miserable. Oh my God. Tirte vipre vakya dilun kemate satcha haya stri putra gyati bandhu janibe nischaya. He began to think, I have given my word to a brahmana in a holy place, and what I promise will certainly come to pass. I must now disclose this to my wife, sons, other relatives, and friends. He was scared of them, because your wife can make your life miserable if you don't behave yourself. Eka dina nija loka ekatra kahila tasabara hagisaba ritanta kahila. Thus one day the elderly brahmana called for a meeting of all his relatives and friends, and before them he narrated what had taken place in front of Gopala. Shuni sabha gosti tara kariha kara aichevat mukhe tumi na anive ara. When those who belonged to the family circle heard the narration of the old brahmana, they made exclamations showing their disappointment. What the hell did you do? They all requested that he not make such a proposal again. Sorry about that. Niche kanya di lekula yaive kanasha shunina sakala loka karibe upahasa. They unanimously agreed, if you offer your daughter to a degraded family, your aristocracy will be lost. When people hear of this, they will make jokes and laugh at you. So in other words, reputation is so important, you know, what people think of me. Actually, advanced devotee couldn't give a damn what people think of him. Except in the case where he's preaching and he wants people to take his message seriously. Other than that, like you have Lord Rishabhadev in the final portion of his Manifest Pastimes, he acted like a crazy person so that people wouldn't bother him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur feigned sickness so he could be absorbed in Krishna's holy names. Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj chanted in a latrine so people wouldn't disturb him. Latrine means bathroom. Of course, that bathroom was cleansed before he went there to chant in it. So, you know, sometimes devotees do that. In the final, they just act completely crazy, so no one will harass them. It's a computer? I don't know how to use a computer. I don't speak English. Vipra Balay, it's tempting. Tirthavakya kimane karyana, yehauk se hauka, ami diva kanyadana. The elderly Brahmana said, how can I undo the promise I made in the holy place while on pilgrimage? Whatever may happen, I must give him my daughter in charity. Now, here's the threats. Dhyati loka kahi mora tomaki chadiba striputra kahi vishakaya mariba. This is really interesting. The relatives unanimously said, if you give your daughter to that boy, we shall give up all connection with you. Indeed, his wife and sons declared, if such a thing happens, we shall take poison and die. And people do that in India sometimes. It's not just a joke. They actually do that because they're so concerned what people will think of them. Really. Really. We should be concerned what Guru and Krishna think of us. I mean, I'll give you an example. I joined the Hare Krishna movement about 150 years ago. Oh, that was last life, sorry. So in this life, I joined the Hare Krishna movement 50 years ago. And when I joined the movement, one of the first things that they did to me is they sent me out to distribute books. Sankirtan. All right, so I was sent out to distribute books. Fine, no problem with that. And so I was thinking, what will people think of me? What will all my friends think of me? And they see me dressed in a dress. In a pink dress. You know, saffron dhoti. Whatever. It was actually a bed sheet that was dyed pink. Anyway, so. But then I thought, oh, I should think more what Krishna thinks of me. And whatever these people think of me, it's not that important. That was an impetus for being able to conquer my shyness. I was extremely shy before I joined the Hare Krishna movement. And that good quality was destroyed by joining the Hare Krishna movement. Then we actually didn't care what other people thought. And he just cared what Krishna thinks. Anyway, no, I actually care about other people. But I'm not concerned about reputation, except as it will affect my service. If people criticize me on the internet, I say, you're my friends, because you're making me humble. I'm not going to defend myself. So, but in this particular culture where you're surrounded by your relatives, your happiness is based on how your wife looks at you and how your sons treat you. You know, it's pretty bad living with someone in the same house who's making faces at you all day long and not talking to you. I mean, it's really tense. Believe me. And imagine a whole village that everyone's looking at you like you're a demon. So you can understand the social pressure when you're living with so many people. And they're living closely with so many people. It's not that they had big houses, you know, 200-room house with three people living in it. People live together. And so, you know, it's just like, it's miserable, I tell you. Living with someone and having them hate you when you're in the same house and not being able to talk to them. That's the benefit of being a sannyasi. You can just shut the door and say, hasta la vista, senores. So Vipra, let's continue. Vipra bale sakshi bolanya karibe kanyaya jita jiti. Kanya labi mora yartha dharma haya. The elderly Brahmin said, if I do not give my daughter to the young Brahmin, he will call Sri Gopalji as a witness. Thus he will take my daughter by force, and in that case my religious principles will become meaningless. And now his son begins to speak. Putra bale pratima sakshi seha dora deshe ke tomara shakshi dive chintakara kishe. Your son replied, the deity may be a witness, but But he is in a distant blood country. How can he come to bear witness against you? Why are you so anxious about this? Or over this? Because the son didn't really believe in Krishna. He was like a little atheist. Nahi kahi na kahi o emitya vachana sabe kahi ve morakichu nahi kasmarana. You do not have to flatly deny that you spoke such a thing. There's no need to make a false statement. Simply say that you do not remember what you said. And that's a false statement too. Tumi yari kaha ami kichwi gna jani tabe ami nyaya kari ramanere jini. This is such a funny story. If you simply say, I do not remember, I shall take care of the rest. By argument, I shall defeat the young Brahmana. Okay. The son of the elderly Brahmana was an atheist and a follower of Raghunatha Smriti. He was very expert in dealing with pounds, shillings, pence, but he was fool number one. Consequently, he did not believe in the spiritual position of the deity, nor did he have any faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as a typical idol worshipper, he considered the form of the Lord to be made of stone or wood. Thus he assured his father that the witness was only a stone deity and was not capable of speaking. Besides that, he assured his father that the deity was situated far away and consequently could not come to bear witness. In essence, he was saying, have no anxiety. You do not have to lie directly, but you should speak like a diplomat, like King Yudhisthira when he spoke to Dronacharya. Aswatthama. Huta iti gajaha. Aswatthama, the elephant, is dead. To trick Dronacharya, so Dronacharya would put down his weapons and could be killed. Following this principle, simply say that you do not remember anything and are completely unaware of the statements given by the young Brahmin. If you make the background like that, I shall know how to fill in the argument and defeat him by word jugglery. Thus, I shall save you from having to give your daughter to him. In this way, our aristocracy will be saved. You have nothing to worry about. Eta shune viprera chintitahaila mana ekandabhave chintivipra upalacharana. When the elderly Brahmana heard this, his mind became very much agitated. Oh my God, what a conflict. Feeling helpless, he simply turned his attention to the lotus feet of Gopal. Mora dharma rakshapaya namare nijajana dvi rakshakara gopala layinu sharana. The elderly Brahmin prayed, my dear Lord Gopal, I have taken my shelter at your lotus feet, and therefore I request you to please protect my religious principles from disturbance and at the same time save my kinsmen from dying. Because that actually would have committed suicide. That's how crazy people are. Hey, mata viprachite chinte te lagila aradina lagu vipra tanragare haila. The next day, the elderly Brahmana was thinking deeply about this matter when the young Brahmana came to his house. Ashina paramabhakche namaskara kadhi vinaya karinya kahi karadvi judi. The young Brahmana came to him and offered respectful obeisances. Please accept my obeisances, all glories to Prabhupada. Then, very humbly folding his hands, he spoke as follows. Tumi more kanya dite karyacha angikara eve kichu nahi kaha ki tumara vichara. You have promised to give your daughter in charity to me. Now you do not say anything. What is your conclusion? Etashuni sevipra rahe monatari tanraputra marite Ailahate Tengakari. After the young Brahmana submitted this statement, the elderly Brahmana remained silent. Taking this opportunity, his son immediately came out with a stick to strike the young man. What a rascal that son was. Hari Adama Moraboni Chahavivahite Vamana Nye Chandayena Chahatadarte. The son said, "Oh, you are most degraded. You want to marry my sister, just like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon." Tinya deki sevipra palanakila aradina gramhera loka ekatra karila. Seeing a stick in the hand of the sun, the younger Brahmana fled. The next day, however, he gathered together all the people of the village. Wow, this gets more exciting. Sabaloka bada vipre dakiya nihla tabe se lagu vipra kahite lagila. All the people of the village then called for the elderly Brahmana and brought him to their meeting place. The young Brahmana then began to speak before them as follows. Inha more kanya dite kariyache angikara ebiye na dena pucha nharavya vahara. This gentleman has promised to hand over his daughter to me, yet now he does not follow his promise. Please ask him about his behavior. Tabe sevri prayare puchila sarva jana kanyat kene na dekhaya yadi diyacha vachana. All the people gathered there asked the elderly Brahmin, "If you have already promised to give him your daughter in charity, why are you not fulfilling your promise? You have given your word of honor." Vipra kahi shunaloka mora nivedana kabiki balicha baliachi mora nahika smarana. The elderly Brahmana said, "My dear friends, please hear what I have to submit. I do not exactly remember making a promise like that." In other words, not exactly, but you know, for all intents and purposes, you made the promise, Prabhu. Etashuni Tanraputra Vakya Chala Panya Padalba Aya Kahi Samuke Asina. When the elderly Brahmana's son heard this, he took the opportunity to juggle some words. Being very impudent, he stood before the assembly and spoke as follows. And we will end here. To be continued. So we ended with text 58. All right. And we, let's see. Okay. So 24 to 58 we did today. Okay, let's open up the floor or the computer for questions now. It's an amazing story. I love this story. And it's very appropriate considering what is happening or what happened today in Nuvaloka and what will happen the next 2 or 3 days too. So don't ask me details because it ain't important for any of you. So anyway, but whenever you have these marriages, Indian marriages, oh my God, you just like wonder, you know, phew-wee. And parents are thinking one thing, the children are thinking another thing. And some members of the community are thinking one thing, and other members of the community are thinking another thing. Whew, it's like living in a hell of a Bollywood movie.
True.
I never want to be in a Bollywood movie. So anyway, so anybody want to ask a question? Anyone want to be in a Bollywood movie here?
Hare Krishna Gurudev.
Oh, you want to be in a Bollywood movie?
No.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, your situation is Bollywood.
Yes.
All right, so.
Dandavat Pranam Gurudev, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Okay, so what's the question?
Gurudev, regarding this story, so younger Brahmana, was he interested in getting married as well? Or he felt that promise was not kept, that's why he took it so further?
He was interested in keeping the promise of the older Brahmana because he wanted to protect the older Brahmana's religious principles. It's not that he was simply lusting after some girl.
Okay.
You know, it's not This is not a love marriage. He probably never even met the girl before, because he was from a different culture, a different village. I probably had no chance to come in contact with the girl, because in those days, what they did was that the girl was protective from other, and she was actually not like hanging around. It's not like nowadays. You want to meet a girl, you go to the bar. You go to, I mean, things are so degraded in the Western world, New Zealand, Australia, America, Europe, and in Delhi, Mumbai, Calcutta, all these places are so degraded. I mean, I was speaking to one friend who was working in Delhi, and I said, "Why don't you find a girl in Delhi to get married?" And he said, "What did he say?" He said, "Well, they're all just hanging out in the bars. I'm not going to get married to any girl who goes to the bars." And finally, he met a very nice girl and to get married, but that she's very nice from a different city. So the point, and he did get married. So the point is that in the old days, it's not that the girl would just like be hanging out on the internet, some website, love me forever, give your name to the Love Me Forever website, and then the pictures, and the girl would show a picture of a Bollywood star, but actually she would look like it's a dog. She actually looked like a dog, and so the man would become interested, thinking that he had actually made arrangements with a Bollywood star to marry, and then he finds out he's made arrangements with a dog. I saw a dog to get married to. So in the old days. In the old days, it's very unlikely that this younger Brahmana would have actually seen the moral of the story. Would actually, sorry about this, the humor. It's very unlikely that the younger Brahmana would actually have seen the older Brahmana's daughter, because they were from a different village, a different culture, and she wasn't just like hanging out at the bar, or hanging out at the well, or hanging out wherever people hung out like that. They were a rich family too, so most likely she wasn't milking cows. She was pretty much isolated like that and protected. I mean, even the demons, they would protect their daughters. There's so many stories about this. Like Banasura was protecting his daughter Usha. And finally, Aniruddha snuck in. Or actually, he was brought in by Chitralekha. But that's a story in the Bhagavatam. So. Yeah, no, it's not that he was lusty as anything, and he just wanted the girl, willing to do anything and risk everybody's life to get the girl. But this is a promise that was made. And so it's very important to uphold promises, even of other people, to protect other people's promises. So he was just thinking, I'm a servant of this younger Brahma, of the older Brahma. All right?
Thank you, Guruji. Thank you.
So you can make some arrangement for your daughter's marriage. You should only marry her to a family where the parents are doctors. No ordinary family. They have to be at least doctors or lawyers or some high class situation like that, okay? All right. Actually, his daughter is my disciple. She's a very nice girl. Very nice girl. All right, so who else has a question?
Guru
All
Maharaj,
right.
please accept my humble obeisances.
Send my blessings. So, what's up?
One of my friends yesterday asked me at the temple, are we supposed to offer chocolate to Krishna?
You're not supposed to, but you can if you want.
So we can offer, like, if you want.
Yeah, Krishna also takes betel nuts. And you're not supposed to take betel nuts. So Krishna can take things that you don't take. All right?
Yes.
He likes a lot of tastes, but obviously, like betel nuts and pan, they're actually intoxicants. And we offer them to the deities, but we ourselves don't take them. So sometimes we can offer things to the deities that we don't take. You don't have to. I mean, it's not obligatory to offer chocolate to a Krishna.
Not oblique
But
order. He just he wanted to offer and eat it, so he offers everything to
yeah, that's
Krishna.
fine. So offer it. Make sure the chocolate doesn't have anything bad in it.
No. He makes it at home, so
He makes it at home.
yeah, he makes
Great.
it. Yeah, he makes chocolate cake and stuff.
Chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Who's going to eat it afterwards?
He's going to eat it. I'm going to eat it.
All right, let him eat it. Okay, well, I'm not going to enter into that controversy about chocolate. Anyway, we can't. Anyway, people are people. Just as long as someone doesn't eat meat, fish, eggs, or take intoxication, or have illicit sex, or gamble, or do things like that. I didn't say no chocolate, and I didn't say yes chocolate. I'm not entering into that controversy. Tulsi asked me a question, so no chocolate. I didn't say no, I didn't say yes, and I'm not getting into the controversy. I do say no garlic, no onions, because these things, first of all, if someone takes garlic, they smell like hell. I don't want to see their face. I don't want to be in the same room with them. Horrible. And also, if someone is flying a plane, they're not allowed to take garlic because it diminishes their reflexes. Plus, the poor other pilot or the co-pilot will be vomiting at the same time if they have to be in the cockpit with someone who has eaten garlic. I mean, what a disgusting thing this garlic is. It's actually disgusting. Even before I joined the movement, I just considered it disgusting. If someone is in the mode of goodness, if someone is in the mode of goodness, they will get disgusted by it. I mean, it's useful as a medicine. I'll tell you the story about garlic. One day that we had a devotee who was very, very sick, a lady devotee. So I said, "You should eat garlic." And it actually is a medicine, as a medicine. As a medicine, not as prasadam. And so she ate garlic and she was going out in the Sankirtan, and all the devotees in the Sankirtan vehicle, the van, who were going out with her in Sankirtan, had to drive with their heads outside the window. The Sankirtan van was going down the street. It was going down the street with 10 men's heads out and one lady outside of the windows. Can you imagine like how funny it was for people to see everybody's heads sticking out the window? Because the garlic smells so bad. So if you don't care about other people, then eat garlic. Or if you want to stay brahmachari, eat garlic. Because no woman will go near you. Or if you or if you want to do a modern version of liquid beauty, then eat garlic. Liquid beauty where the prince comes up and says, "This is my princess." And the princess, who doesn't want to get married to the prince, she just open her mouth and go, "Ha!" And the poor prince will go running away. So people like these things. It's disgusting. Okay, here's a question. Is it all right to chant while driving or being stuck in traffic or just chanting while driving? You could chant, but don't, I wouldn't count your rounds. I mean, if the car is completely stopped, then it's all right. But, if you have to be attentive, then it's not. I mean, how are you going to be attentive when you're chanting? You're either attentive to driving or attentive to chanting, and it's going to be dangerous. Because when you're driving, all sorts of things that can happen. I mean, I'll give you an example. I was driving today, okay, driving down the road, very, very happy, and all of a sudden, a deer jumped out in front of me. I mean, it's getting ready to jump out because my car would stop automatically, hopefully in time. But I was alert enough to put the brakes on before the deer actually could have jumped up out in front of me. But had I been chanting Japa or doing something else or texting on my mobile phone, I wouldn't have noticed the deer. And around here, we have a lot of deer. I don't know if you know what a deer is. A deer, anyways, a deer is a deer, whatever a deer is. It's an animal. It has golden skin on it, just like the one that Marich had. And so, so we have to be very attentive. Well, driving is such a dangerous thing. Nilgal. Not Nilgal. Anyway, blue deer. About driving, I got some good news for everybody. I got rid of my ticket. I had a ticket for speeding, and I shared that with all of you about a month ago or something like that. And I got it fixed.
Congratulations.
Because it's Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, it says if you can hire a lawyer, you can do any damn thing. So I hired a lawyer, and I got the ticket fixed, so there's no points on my license. Isn't that cool?
Very cool.
So anyway, I thought I'd share with everybody the good news. Because it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in predictions of Kali Yuga, that if you hire a lawyer, basically if you hire a lawyer, if you have money, you can get away with anything. So, but I'm not going to speed again because lawyers cost money. So, who wants to ask another question? Any of you spirit souls want to ask a question? Spirit souls, any of you want to arrange a marriage for your daughter? No one else? Oh, another one. Oh, you want to arrange a marriage for your daughter?
No.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gurudev, quick question.
Yeah.
You've been talking about Jagannath Puri, that the foreign devotees or devotees who don't live in India, it's quite difficult for them to enter the temple. So
yeah.
This time, like last time when I went, I had this strong feeling that if you did not go, why did we have to go? So why is it like, I really want to take an instruction on that.
No, you should go like Lord Chaitanya went, even though Haridas Thakur was not allowed to go. Lord Chaitanya went, even though that Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami weren't allowed to go. So it's all right.
Srila Prabhupada also stopped going. He was upset with them that his
He was upset. I think he was trying to apply pressure on them. But your not going is not going to apply pressure. He was thinking politically. You know, they couldn't care less whether you go or don't go. But with Prabhupada was actually trying to, you know, apply political pressure, which is intelligent. You know, if you want to make a change, then you got to have someone prominent make the change. You or me or anybody else, they couldn't care about whether we go in the temple. You could say, I'm not going to the temple unless my guru does. Okay. It doesn't mean anything to them. But if you were a great acharya and you said, I'm not going to the temple unless my disciples can go to the temple, they'd think about it. And even the Indian Supreme Court passed a judgment that the devotees should go in the temple. Any Hindu could go in the temple. But they don't follow the judgment. There was this other temple in India where there was women were not allowed in the temple. Women under a certain age were not allowed in the temple. You may have heard that story. Anyway. And the court passed a judgment, and then somehow or other they had to send like the Indian army to protect the women so they could go in the temple.
Is it in Maharashtra, Gurudev?
Yeah, I think it was in Maharashtra. I don't remember. Maybe it could have been somewhere else. I don't remember exactly where it was. But they have to say, and there were still so many people ready to kill. And so people have this bodily consciousness, even though the Vedas propagate the philosophy that we're not the body, that everybody is spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna. And the type of body, the color of skin, the gender is not the important thing. The bhakti is the important thing. I mean, Lord Ram, he agreed to see a dog. You know that story? The dog came and complained about a Brahmin because the Brahmin had beaten him. And Lord Ram, he took the side of the dog because the Brahmin, for no reason, had beaten the dog, simply because he was hungry. Not the dog was hungry, the Brahmin was hungry. So the Brahmin was punished. And the story goes that the Brahmin was punished by having to become temple president. I think you all know that story. Because the temple president accepts the sinful reactions of everybody in the temple or ashram. And so, therefore, the dog in his last life was the temple president. That's how he became a dog. Because he accepted everyone's sinful reactions. So if you ever deal with a situation there with the temple and you don't agree with something the temple president is doing, just remind them that they have to accept a sinful reaction for making the wrong decision, and they may become dogs in the next life. And that should scare them into doing the right thing. How's that sound? That's a pretty good argument. It's an inside joke. Okay, anyway, we have to end now, so we'll see everybody tomorrow evening. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.